Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
According to Woj, the deal is going to go through. That despite the reports that Kawhi Leonard wants nothing to do with playing in Toronto.
So how did that go through?
I don't know. But it's been reported and the particulars have not yet been specified. Adrian Wojnarowski just now saying San Antonio-Toronto deal has been closed for days, nearly fallen apart several times, league sources tell ESPN. The GM of the Raptors wanted to inform DeRozan himself late last night and hours before the trade call. DeRozan and a longtime teammate Kyle Lowry talked hours ago, sources said. So we'll see what the actual contents of that trade are and whether or not we think that makes Toronto a legitimate contender. They trade one all-star for a guy who, when healthy, is arguably the best two-way player in the game in Kawhi Leonard.
Could be an even situation there. I'm just wondering if Toronto becomes the last destination point where people would want to go. I mean, is that a place anybody wants? It's a great city, but is that a place anybody wants to be traded to?
Toronto, it's tough to say. I mean, it's the size of Chicago. There's endless great places to eat, to go to clubs, if that's your thing.
It's a big international city.
I know.
Going to clubs is my thing.
Very, very cosmopolitan. Yeah. All right.
Baseball clubs.
We'll ask Fred McLeod, who's been there plenty of times, as he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Fred, Toronto, good place to go if you're an NBA player?
Well, big time city. I think once guys get there, they understand the scope of what they have there, because it is an international city. And for example, we enjoy going there when the Cavs go to town. It's different strokes for different folks, time will tell. But it's a risk I think Toronto felt was worth taking, getting a heck of a player. And for San Antonio, I think it's a heck of a move, because DeRozan's a multifaceted all-star guard, well-proven. So you knew he wasn't going to go to the Lakers. That just wasn't going to happen. So the question is, can Toronto do enough now to convince him to commit long-term? And time will tell. And obviously success is a big part of that.
Fred, is your head still spinning from what's happened in the last month or two?
Yeah, it's kind of normal. I think, obviously the domino started the fall when LeBron made his decision. And, I don't think there was more movement than I thought, but I think the last 2-3 years we've had, I don't remember the exact number, but over 100 players that have changed uniforms, and we'll probably have the same kind of number this season. That's just the way of the NBA world now.
Fred McLeod joining us on the hotline. I did want to ask you, and there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking going on, even when it comes to the LeBron thing. So when you see that Kawhi Leonard, who's got 1 year left on his deal, gets traded, and now there was a report by Chris Haynes, used to work in Cleveland, that he doesn't want to go to Toronto. We'll see how that all works out. But we also saw Paul George last year traded as a rental. And the reason I ask the question is, the story is, and who knows what is ever going to be the most accurate part of this, but the story goes that Paul George was going to get traded to the Cavaliers, and Dan Gilbert went to LeBron's people and said, hey, let's get a commitment, and then we'll give you Paul George on a silver platter. And that LeBron's people, as is customary for LeBron, would not do that, would not offer that commitment, and so the deal was off. There are people now reporting that, and saying, opining, Fred, that they should have done that, no matter what. They should have done that. I don't think they should have. I think there's a lot of second-guessing going on now after the fact, that I didn't hear any of these people saying it at the time. What is your stance on this? So were the Cleveland Cavs in a scenario where they should have entertained the idea of bringing in a rental?
Look, I don't know all the machinations of what nicks the deal or whatnot. All I know is the team has been incredibly aggressive to try to do what it takes to, not appease LeBron James, but to compete for championships. And so you're trying to get the best players and make the best deals that'll you know, if not secure that that chance, at least give you the opportunity to do it. So Dan has proven time and time again, you know, in many deals that, you know, they're taking on extra dollars. I mean, millions and millions of dollars. So it certainly was not a case, I'm sure, of the Cavs having cold feet on a rental. They're just trying to compete for titles every year, and that's what you try to do. And if you're trying to acquire a player like Paul George, or in this case, the San Antonio Spurs, you know, giving up Kawhi Leonard and the CB becomes a piece. So, you know, but again, I don't know specifically why that deal broke down, but I'm sure we've heard plenty of reports that the Indiana Pacers pulled the plug at the last minute. So I think there's a lot to that as well.
Hey, Fred, there's a lot of talk about whether teams can rebuild and contend, at least for a mid-playoff level situation. What do you think the Cavs are thinking right now?
Just to, you know, really develop this core. I mean, look at the Utah Jazz. People, you know, had them laying for dead, and all of a sudden they've made some really good draft picks. Rudy Gobert is a tremendous value pick where he was taken, I think, 27th, and obviously Donovan Mitchell. So it's been proven time and time and time again, you do that. San Antonio's draft history is right up there, considering where they've drafted so low. So the Cavs, I think, are in a lot better spot than they were in 2010, with all due respect to the guys they had in that ball club with Anthony Parker and Antoine Jameson at that stage at the end of their careers. So, you know, what I saw with Colin Sexton, I love what I see. I mean, this kid is a gamer boy. It's more of a baseball term than a basketball term, but he just he's got moxie, man. So you know, there's some pieces in place, and this is going to be built the right way. And I think player development is a key part of it. Miami's shown that as well. They've done a good job of developing some young players over time, and you've got to be able to do that, especially this day and age in the NBA.
Fred McLeod, Fox Sports Ohio, joining us on the hotline. So you've seen these summer league games, and I got to tell you, I've been blown away by Colin Sexton. And you saw that we're not alone, you're not alone, I'm not alone, the Cavs aren't alone, because he was named to the All-NBA Summer League team in Las Vegas. And there's so many teams out there. Think about how many players are playing, and for him to get top five or top seven or whatever it was, All-NBA, is pretty interesting to me, and how well he played. You said gamer, you said moxie. I saw all those things. That guy seemed fearless, and at 6'1", and that was one of the big reservations I had against taking him, was that size. But at no point did he look like he was going to be intimidated by anything that was out there.
No, and he's got length too, and I think he's got a frame that's going to continue to you know, I'm not saying he's going to be built like Russell Westbrook, but he's got a frame that's going to be able to take on some size. I spent quite a bit of time with Avery Johnson at the at draft night, and you know, and it serves no purpose for him to overhype a player, because you know he's got a program to continue to try to sustain. But he absolutely loves this young man. I couldn't say no. He said he's going to be a multiple time All Star, and you know, time will tell that. But he just loves, you know, his fearlessness, and I think, you know, people were questioning his jump shot. I think he's got a really good foundation with that. You know, it's going to get better through reps, but I love how he goes left. I think it's easier for a point guard to learn how to, you know, go the strong hand, which he can do, but the fact that he can go left, you know, it reminds me of young Andre Miller in that regard, where Andre was so good going to his offhand, and you know, he just explodes to the rim. You know, his floater game, I think, is going to be key. His pull-up game, because with that speed, he's going to be able to get to that that nail, that 15-foot spot at the free throw line, and for pull-ups all the time. And in the open floor, he's going to push. You know, he wants to defend. I know it was summer league, but you saw in against the Lakers, that was kind of fun. The game was on the line, and he's out there D'ing up, and he's all about the right things. And you know, and family's part of it too. Spent some time with his mom and dad and brother and sister, and just comes from great stock, and he's just. It's not about him, it's about the team. And so I think the Cavs really really hit one there.
Fred, we on shows like this, we keep talking about quarterbacks and how soon they should play and how much should they hold the clipboard and all. What is it in the case here? Can they start him from day one, or is it not to his advantage to do that?
Yeah, I think it'll just be a case of Ty's going to grow what he's got. I think the days of the pure point guard and off guard are kind of done. I think they're guards, and so you can see plenty of times where George Hill's going to handle the rock on one play, and maybe Collins out there with him, and he's playing the off guard, and you know, then they switch. So not only positionless basketball, but positionless in the backcourt. So training camp will tell, and they're not going to rush him, but at the same time, not going to hold him back. And I think it's quite an advantage for Colin to have a head coach who played the position in the NBA. And I know Ty is really, really excited to be able to nurture this young guy because he sees so much potential.
Fred McLeod with us on the hotline. I know you tweeted last night that you loved that the players were being interviewed on the field in that All-Star game. Obviously, you've done a ton of baseball. You've done a ton of basketball. Would you like to see more of that, even at the regional level or the local level? Would you like to see more of that? Do you think any of the players would be up for something like that during your broadcast, Fred?
Well, I think it'd be almost impossible, on a basketball scenario, because you get, like Frankie Lindor last night at shortstop, the ball wasn't hit at him, and, outfielders talking to Cameron. But it was just a cool moment. You're never going to see that in a regular season baseball game. But I thought it was – whoever the producer was or the executive producer came up with the idea, and it was just cool. It was something we hadn't seen before. And,
don't you think it would be great if Mike Trout was mic'd up as he was and diving over the fence to make a catch?
Yeah, exactly. Doing his own play-by-play.
Absolutely.
Here I come back to the wall. I'm like, oh, what a grab I just made.
Right. You have no idea how good that play was.
Yeah, I know. He's phenomenal. And I love the NBA All-Star Game, and witnessed so many of them, but still baseball is number one, just because you got pitchers still out there throwing 100 miles an hour, and you got hitters trying to hit home runs, and because they're not physical limitations where, and obviously in the NBA or NHL or the NFL, the Pro Bowl, there's always a chance for injury, so guys have that in the back of their minds, where baseball you can kind of let it fly, and that's as a result you get that kind of game.
Fred, you've had two opportunities now to broadcast, two different times in your life to broadcast LeBron James and, the greatness of LeBron, and you saw him even mature. I'm sure the LeBron that came back after 4 years was even more evolved and a little bit different LeBron. And then by the time 4 years later had come and gone, I mean, he would hold court at these press conferences at the finals, and it wouldn't even be basketball questions anymore. I mean, it would be life stuff. And so it had become so incredible to see how advanced, LeBron was at being able to tackle anything that came his way. So after all was said and done and you covered LeBron, who knows, maybe you get another chance down the road and maybe you're broadcasting games with LeBron and his son. But what was LeBron like for you? We've heard Dave McMenamin and Joe Varden and Jason Lloyd talk about that. What was it like for you, who was the soundtrack of his career in many ways?
Well, I was honored. I'll never forget it. I've got a plaque in my office. It has 30,000 points on it, and I'll cherish that. It's I've got a championship ring in my office too, largely because of what he brought back to town. So I watched Michael Jordan from afar, and that debate will rage on, and it's still too early to make that debate and who's the greatest of all time, but what we witnessed, we all cherished it, and he had the ability to make the decision he did, and it takes nothing away from what he brought to our city for 11 years, and it was a perfect confluence of a local iconic player and a stay-at-home, and it's storybook. There'll be a movie about it someday, and he'll probably produce it and probably star in it. So,
Fred, what do you think of?
He made me a better broadcaster, obviously, because you had to always be aware, and he would spend a lot of time with me just after shoot-arounds and, little snippets of conversation. But I love picking his brain because and I've always said, I think mentally he was even ahead of the game of his physical skills. And so it was a great pleasure to call his great plays.
Yeah, obviously the championship is the one that is the real answer to this. The one that sticks out to me is what he did in the Detroit series or Detroit game when he scored 7,000 points in a row. Which one stands out to you over the years?
Yeah, that's right there. But it, for me, obviously, I get choked up when I think about it. here we go again.
Nothing wrong with that. You're not alone.
Yeah, the block and him, you know, just for those of us left who, and look, you guys who grew up here, nobody can take it away.
It's incredible when everybody goes back and thinks about those moments, Fred, no matter where they were, no matter what they do. And I see from time to time, you know, your lovely wife, Beth, will tweet out, you know, you on the call at Oracle, you were doing the game and it was beamed back to the people who were at the watch party down at the queue, and you and Austin, to see just how excited you guys got. And it was authentic. It wasn't fake. It wasn't anything that was conjured up. It's not something you can practice beforehand. To see that, and I think every fan kind of has that same reaction, and we all have a moment that we get choked up or get the willies or, you know, you get the hair stands up on your arms.
But Fred sort of mentioned it before. I think you had to be a local guy, which Fred, of course, was. Went away for a few years, but, of course, was Cleveland all over the place. And I think you had to be a Cleveland guy to appreciate what you were watching and how you could convey it to the audience out there. And I thought Fred did a phenomenal job doing that.
Well, and then, you know, like you, Les, I am old enough to remember the 64 Browns. I can reel off their jersey numbers. You could test me right now.
That's easy.
You know, right. and so I grew up with that team. And, you know, my dad, who would take me to the top row of, you know, the stadium. I remember one game with Green Bay in December. It was so cold. He wanted to go and I wanted to stay. And so you have all those memories in the lakefront and, you know, stadium hot dog. I don't want to be waxed. You know, nostalgic here, but those things do wrap up into it. And when you have one city, the West Detroit, with all their titles, and 2 hours to the East in Pittsburgh, it was cruel. you couldn't make it up. And so finally, that it you know, was removed. Again, there will be someday some sort of movie for it. You know, you can change the name of the city if you want and make it fictional, but it was something that, you know, thank goodness I'm back here to be able to celebrate it. So, you know, those images are so indelible. And then, obviously, you've seen plenty of videos on YouTube where you've got fans, and I bawl like a baby when I see it.
Fred, I appreciate it, man. I thought that was great perspective. And, you know, it's sad that LeBron is gone, but you anytime we get a chance to go down memory lane on one of the greatest moments in Cleveland sports history, and certainly something everyone remembers, I think it's really cool for the listeners. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah, sure. I'm getting ready to play golf with Tom Hamilton, so I'm sure we'll have a lot of memories floating around.
Where are you playing, most importantly?
Avon Oaks. So
nice.
I haven't decided if we'll both announce each other at the first year. Or not, but,
I'll catch you on the back nine.
You need a walk-up song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll have to come up with something.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, it's funny. Tom and I obviously have great respect for each other's work, and we rarely get a chance to. We've talked about playing golf for several years, so finally, with the All-Star break, we're able to do it.
Excellent.
All right, very cool. Thanks, Fred.
Enjoy.
Okay, guys, enjoy.
All right, there he is.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.